1 hour down, three to go with you guys here until 11. Jake Volnick with you on the Fan. It is indeed 8 o'clock. Quarterback big board wrapped up, and let's waste no time. He's brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He's our Browns beat reporter, and his name is Daryl Ryder. Daryl, how are we doing on a fine day where we see quarterbacks passing on down in Mobile, Alabama, the perfect place to see college football participants where everybody wants to be?
I'm fine. I hope that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski were paying very close attention and realized that none of these guys have it.
You were not impressed by today in the slightest.
No.
Okay.
No. It continues to confirm what I already thought, and that is that these guys stink.
I mean, just lay it right out there, right? I mean,
don't need to see them with the second overall pick. Certainly don't need to see them at 33. You want to take someone after that, fine, but they're not worthy of top picks. However, go ahead and play the game and sucker someone else into drafting one of these guys.
You know what's really interesting to me? Like, I understand that it's been there for like as long as, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've been alive. But the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, that just seems odd. Like, we couldn't pick a better city for the Senior Bowl. Like, not to just dump on Mobile, but, like, I feel like that could be a bigger city thing. Like, we have big names and a lot of talent flying around. Why did we pick Mobile, Alabama?
I don't know, because I guess that's where it's been forever.
Yeah, like, that. We're just going off of tradition here. It's not always a good a good motto, Daryl. I feel like Atlanta would be happy to host this event. I don't know that everyone would be happy to go to Atlanta for this event, but like somewhere else would be happy to do this, I feel like. I don't know. I just feel like we could pick a better spot.
I don't know who to tell you to file that grievance with, but yeah. I'm sure you can figure it out.
Yeah.
I really don't care. I'm not there, so I don't care where they have it. They could have it in Chicago or Indianapolis or Minneapolis for all I care.
Hey, I'm not there either. I feel like we could just have more fun. Daryl, should there be any more confidence with the Browns identifying a quarterback in this draft if they're going to go get one, or maybe in your case, identifying the fact that there is no quarterback in this draft, that with Berry and Stefanski both down in Alabama?
They're doing their homework. That's why they're there. So Kevin being down there is a little different, but they're in the quarterback shopping spree this offseason here. They not only need veterans, but they are gonna draft one of these kids. I just hope they don't waste a top pick on them. That's why Kevin's down there, and then obviously Andrew and the rest of the personnel department, they're supposed to be down there.
Yeah, I guess I played with the idea. I think that it would be, I would feel more confident, and we'll never get this answer. I understand we'll never get this answer, but is seeing if it was, hey, this was a Kevin Stefanski pick at quarterback versus, hey, it was an Andrew Berry pick at quarterback. Should fans
You're
be confident?
You're never getting that answer, so don't even bother.
You'll just never have it. That's the problem, is that it'll just be, it's a collaborative effort. That's the answer that I feel like we'll get.
Paul DeBattista's picking the quarterback at this point.
Do you think he has an exclusive feed, Daryl? You think he gets they're just basically FaceTiming him in so he can watch it with his own two eyes?
I don't even know what the guy does, so.
I like the idea that it's just,
I need one of those jobs where I can make seven figures and nobody knows what I do.
Nobody knows what happens.
And I don't even have to reside in the same city. It'd be fantastic.
I like the idea that Kevin and Andrew are basically both just there to set up cameras so Paul has multiple angles to watch the quarterbacks from.
They're all wearing GoPros.
Yeah. Like, that's really what they're there for. Paul said, all right, clearly watching one angle of this has not been enough in my Browns history, so I need to. Why don't you both go down there?
I will say the star of the Senior Bowl today, though, was Bubba Ventrone.
Yeah, I saw you you tweeted something out about his PA skills and his player intros.
You know, hey, if that whole special teams coordinator coaching thing don't work out, look out Jeff Shreve.
Yeah. Was he introing? Was his job to intro all of the players? Is that what Bubba ended up doing?
I don't even know if it was his intro, or his job. I mean, he just was like standing in the middle of everyone, and he was just calling out the names of the matchups for the drills.
Feels why Bubba doing that is just it's an interesting. How do you end up being the person to take that role? I don't know.
Well, because he's the head coach of, I think it's the North team, or the national team or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that makes sense. Still odd. Still, okay. I mean, listen, well, based on last year, Daryl, it might not be going so well as a special teams coach. So maybe yeah, this is a good thing.
This is the way it's always done. It's just he did it with more flavor today than I'm accustomed to seeing.
Well, that's good. I like that. I like that we have usually, at least a guy with character.
Usually it's done like, you know, Family Feud style. Give me that guy, give me that guy, go. You know? Like,
yeah.
But, you know, Bubba had his own little, you know, sprinkle of flavor to it today, and it was quite entertaining to watch.
Well, at least there was something entertaining to watch, because as you said, I think Jalen Milroe is probably the guy that you most point to is very unimpressed from watching that.
Woof.
Yeah.
Buzz, they were not good. Your girlfriend. Woof.
Yeah. No kidding. It was not it was bad.
No wonder Tommy Rees just wished him well when asked about him at the press conference last week.
Oh, no. So obviously,
everyone's like, no, he made that means they're taking him. They're going to draft him. No, that's not what that meant.
Obviously, a fair share of really ugly balls from Jalen Milroe. How much stock do you actually put in watching these guys throw in essentially shorts and a T-shirt? And how you assess it, how they're going to be a quarterback for an NFL team in the future?
Very little. You watch the game film, and that's obviously what, you know, here's the thing. The scouting's been done, okay? Whether it's the Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, and then you know, the top 30 visits, right? All those are opportunities, and pro days too, are opportunities to confirm not only what was scouted, but also what was, developed as far as, information on given players and an opportunity to see them in person, opportunity to speak with them and things like that. If you are sitting there and if you want, okay, if you watched the Senior Bowl practice today, and you are now sold on one of these quarterbacks as being the guy for the Cleveland Browns, you're doing it wrong. Just like that's just the way it is. So, there's going to be talk about, oh, this guy's shooting up draft boards. No, it's called the media is learning more and more and more about what teams think about said player. That's how they, quote unquote, shoot up draft boards. They've already been up there. It's just the media is now finding out, yeah, they're up there. And that's where that shooting up draft boards narrative comes from.
Man, Darryl, you're telling me that no matter what Will Howard does in shorts and a T-shirt, it's not actually going to impact whether or not he's a second or third round pick?
No.
Oh, disappointing. I love the idea that that's what could impact their draft. No, I knew that was the case.
Watch the national championship game. Watch the previous three playoff games.
No, yeah, I think we've all pretty much been able to.
If you want to talk about jumping up draft boards, right? There you go. It's right there in front of you. Watch those four games.
Yeah, I think we've all. If you're truly going through and saying that the guys throwing today made more than like a half a percent impact on where these guys are standing, you're probably doing this thing, as you said, doing it all wrong. But if there was a quarterback, Daryl, that you think impressed anybody today based on what you saw and maybe starts that flying up the draft board, was there anybody that actually impressed you with the way they threw the football today?
I'll be honest with you, not really. I certainly wasn't impressed with the wide receivers. And to be fair to the quarterbacks, maybe that, you know, it impacts it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is like I don't know what they're being asked to do. I don't know if they're being told, hey, this needs to be a back shoulder. This needs to be an it. I just know what I'm watching on my iPad and listening to the outstanding commentary that the folks from NFL Network are providing. So I'll say this. My opinions on this draft class are unchanged. I'm unmoved based on anything I saw today. If anything, I'm feeling a little better about my opinion on this year's draft class and, you know, where things stand. But I do think you're going to hear a lot of Browns, you know, interest in Cam Ward, interest in Shedeur Sanders. I mean, Mary Kay and Zach Jackson are down there, and they both wrote about Shedeur, it shouldn't be a problem for him coming to the Browns with Deion Sanders and things like that. But I just, You know, I just hope that's not the route they're going. You know what I mean? You put it out there, you make it sound like you're hot on their trail, and then you sucker someone into coming to get that number two pick to get one of those two players, whichever one's left on the board. I think Cam Ward's going to go number one. So right now I would say Shadur is going to go number two. You get someone like the Raiders to come up to two and get him. And then you collect that extra first round pick and some other sweetener that goes with that for next year. So now you're really armed and ready to go to draft your franchise quarterback next year. And again, I realize I'm making an assumption that the quarterback class is going to be better next year, but it can't be much worse than, a lot of the experts saying that Cam and Shadur, if you throw them into last year's draft class, they're 6, 7, 8 in the mix there, right? So you're telling me the sixth best quarterback last year is what's available to be the best quarterback this year. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, we did have five really good quarterbacks, or at least four really good quarterbacks come out, then J.J. McCarthy, jury's still out. But, it's not great. I'm right there with you. It's not great. You don't love to hear that. Daryl Wright, our Browns beat reporter with us, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers. Daryl, obviously the circulation with Tommy Rees and Jalen Milroe, and then now you combo it. Now the talk is about Derek Carr, because Bill Musgrave was there for the start of him in Oakland. How much of an impact do those guys actually have in a quarterback making their way to Cleveland? And is what they say taken as gospel? Like, you should use it, but how much of an impact do you actually have on the decision with those guys?
I'm sure they'll have input, but they're not making the decision. Andrew Berry is the one that's going to make the decision. Kevin Stefanski will have input, hopefully significant input. The nice thing with Musgrave is it's not just Derek Carr, right? I mean, he has worked with a variety of quarterbacks. This is a guy with 26 years of coaching experience, both at the collegiate and pro level, and he's been a coordinator for six different teams. This is like, you look at the guy's resume, and this is almost a demotion, right? He's been with the organization for a couple years. Technically, it is promotion, senior offensive assistant. But when you look at the guy's resume, it's not really at the level where he's used to working, right? But it's clear that Kevin Stefanski wanted familiar faces in charge of critical areas of the coaching staff, both at offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. And I think that because Musgrave has worked with such a diverse set of quarterbacks, I think that kind of puts everybody's mind at ease within the organization that whichever direction they might go this offseason, Musgrave is going to have no problem coaching that player up, young or old.
We love to hear that. Daryl, as we get ready and we get closer to the draft, you get to look at a few more of the players. How balanced do you think the Browns are going to be near the top of the draft when it comes to assessing offense versus defense?
I think it comes down to best player available, which is what it should be. This is a good draft for offensive and defensive linemen. It's a good draft for running backs, not a good draft for quarterbacks, not a good draft for wide receivers, right? Secondary players, it appears to be a good draft there. So, those are all areas that the Browns have needs. So, I don't think that Barry goes into it saying, hey, I'm going to draft a receiver, I'm going to draft a linebacker, I'm going to draft a defensive tackle. Like, I really do believe that he stays true to his board and he sticks with the BPA, best player available. I firmly believe that that's the approach he's going to continue to take in this year's draft with all the picks they have.
Daryl, Andrew Berry telling the media today that they're not going to be listening to trade offers for Myles Garrett. Do you think that makes it clear that the Browns' plan is going to be extend Myles, or does it still leave the door open?
No, I think the door's still left open. A lot of times when GMs say we're not interested in listening to trade offers, that's usually code for you have my number, feel free to use it. And I'm not saying that's the case here. But remember, you know, responses to questions are not sworn testimony here, right? Things can change. But I do believe that Barry is sincere in what he said today, that, you know, nothing has changed since the January 6th press conference. Our intention is to keep Miles here, have him retire a Brown, and they're going to make Miles very, very happy by making him the highest paid defender in NFL history. That's what's going to happen this offseason. So it's not a matter if, it's just a matter of when they get that done.
Daryl, good stuff out of you as always, and I hope that the next set of film that you get to watch coming across your iPad is a little bit more pleasing to your eyes.
I just want to see some completions. Is that so hard to ask for?
Apparently so. I would have thought coming into today not, but apparently so. appreciate you as always, and have a good
you
one,
Daryl. You bet,
bud. That was Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, and he was brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl says that Andrew Barry, he feels best player available in the draft. I don't know that going into this one, he should be. 216-474-0092. Jake Volnick with you guys right here on 92.3 The Fan.